All right, welcome back. Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We switch up from college football, which we'll get back to the NFL. Week number 12 underway with the Thanksgiving triple header. Joining us to talk all things NFL, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, NFL writer. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. How are you doing?
Same to you, man. Doing really well. And a lot to talk about. You know, do you like the Thanksgiving triple header? Do you like they've added the night game in the last few years?
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, look, if you have had enough of your relatives by 4 p.m.,
yeah,
there's nothing better than the excuse of I'm going to sit in front of the couch and drink myself to sleep while watching this nightcap of a football game. I thought the first game, that almost put me to sleep.
Oof, that was rough.
Yeah, but there was the implications in the second game, and then we just got sort of a preview of what the Saints are going to do for the rest of the season, I felt like, in that nightcap.
Well, let me ask you this about the Saints, because, you know, we spend so much time talking about their offense because they, the Rams, and the Chiefs are all putting on offensive displays that are unbelievable. But kind of under the radar, their defense has been pretty good lately. Are we buying? You know, like nowadays, I feel like, I mean, nobody's got a great defense in the NFL. So it feels like, you know, especially a team this good, you just need to be solid defensively. How good is their defense right now?
That is a fantastic point, Adam, because here's the deal. Last year, that defense was lights out. It was so incredibly good, and it sort of flew under the radar.
Yeah.
Because they had been bad for so historically long. And this year they started off slow.
Right.
No one knew exactly what was going on. Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, apparently has figured things out, because the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, they've been balling. And that's a huge sort of advantage going down the stretch, as you point out, that no one else is playing defense. We saw a little defense, not much, in that Rams Chiefs game.
Yeah.
But we've seen a lot more from the Saints than we have any other high-level team at this point. I think Cam Jordan's always been good. Marshawn Lattimore struggled a little bit early, but he's coming around. Marcus Williams is playing great, their second-year safety, who was previously best known, fairly or not, for forgetting to tackle Stephon Diggs in that divisional game last year. Marcus Davenport's the guy they traded up for, and everyone's like, what are you doing? And he's been contributing when he's healthy, coming off the edge. So all the moves they've made in recent drafts seem to be the right moves, and now the defense is coming together, and I don't understand how you even begin to figure out how to slow down that offense. And for as awesome as that Monday night game was last week, I'm sure the Saints are watching and going, yeah, we do that every week. So,
yeah,
you know, you're going to have to come through New Orleans again, Los Angeles, and we'll see you then. So, yeah, it's been impressive.
What's amazing, too, is, like, you know, obviously their backfield with Ingram and Kamara, fantastic, and, you know, Michael Thomas is sensational. The rest of their weapons on offense are either unproven or, you know, just guys. I mean, you know, it's not like they have, and again, the top three that I mentioned, those guys are all really special, so I don't want to downplay it too much, but it's not like they have six or seven, you know, crazy guys. It's just, and Drew Brees is just so amazing. It almost seems like sometimes it doesn't matter who he's playing with.
Yeah, Dan Arnold's making plays.
Yeah.
Austin Carr is making plays. I think the guy's name was Keith Kirkwood that caught the touchdown at the end there. They could have brought him out of halftime out of the stands. I wouldn't have known the difference, and he just comes in there and catches touchdowns. They signed Dez Bryant for 2 days. He gets hurt. They signed Brandon Marshall, and they're still trucking with rookie Traquan Smith. So that's right. And I think the overall point you take from this is you have to have a franchise quarterback.
That's right.
You can't
Pretty
roll
simple.
Mark Sanchez out there and expect this to happen with that sort of offense around him. That has to be job number one, and that's why we see teams every April just stretch for guys just because they're hoping against hope that they'll you know, strike the lottery. So, yeah, I mean, Sean Payton's doing a fantastic job calling plays, but it certainly helps when your 39-year-old quarterback looks like a 29-year-old quarterback who could play forever.
We're talking with Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com NFL writer. Let's go back to that Monday night game for a minute, the Chiefs and Rams, because, you know, so many times you think, oh, it's going to be a great game, and it doesn't live up to the billing, right? You know, like Philadelphia and New Orleans didn't live up, and I guess Philadelphia hasn't really lived up to the billing all year, but that Chiefs-Rams game, 54-51, you mentioned there was some defense in there, some big plays. And I was rooting for the Chiefs to kick a field goal at the end to send it to overtime because I didn't want the game to end.
Right.
I mean, you know, some fans complaining about, oh, the rules, it's too hard for the defense. I don't care. I love this football. How about you?
7 turnovers, 8 sacks. I mean, that's a lot of defense.
Yeah.
Now, they had a lot of opportunities. And the only thing I would complain about as a fan, if you're a fan of defense, is that Orlando Scandrick dropped that ball with 2 minutes to go, hit him right in the hands. If he catches that, game's over. Chiefs win because Rams are out of timeouts. Everything else about that game, and even that was dramatic.
Yeah.
I loved. And, you and I, we watch sports all day, every day.
Yep.
It's a job. I love it, but it's a job. And you get sort of numb to things you see. I was on the edge of my seat watching this game. I was exhausted by halftime. It was nuts. It was so incredibly fun. And I tell you, the biggest winner out of all this, Roger Goodell in the NFL, because no one was talking about Mexico City and the debacle of not having the field prepared and having to move the game to the last minute. That was a huge check mark for them, and obviously for the league. I think if anyone was a loser, it was the all-star officiating crew they thought would be a good idea to put together.
Yeah, that was a weird choice. It was funny, as you say, like, at the end of the first quarter, I was like, my God, what a quarter. And that was the lowest scoring quarter of the game.
They were just getting warmed up.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. All right, let's get to what we got going on Sunday now after our triple header, and there's plenty of action this weekend. You know, let's begin with the Patriots, who, you know, while there was so much talk about the Rams and the Chiefs and the Saints, the Patriots, believe it or not, are a little under the radar right now. Are the Patriots... should the Patriots be talked about in the same group because of their history, their quarterback, their coach, even though their quarterback's shown maybe tiny bits of cracks at 41, should they be talked about in the same vein as those other three teams?
Yeah, and I'll give you one simple reason why. They play in the worst division of football.
Well, that's true.
So they have the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets left. All wins.
Yeah.
Their toughest games are going to be Minnesota and Pittsburgh, and they can win those games. So what are they, 7-3? They'll be 13-3. They'll be right back where they're probably have home field advantage for at least one of the games. And then, you know, if you go to Gillette, all bets are off. So that, more than anything else, is the reason they're still there. Obviously, Tom Brady's still one of the 10 best quarterbacks, and Belichick's a Hall of Famer and all that. But they're not playing anyone. And this has been their sort of foray into postseason for the last 20 years. They're playing a terrible division. I think they've... 2008, I think, is the only time they haven't won it, and that's when the Dolphins are running the Wildcat for a season.
Right.
Otherwise, we know how this ends. Now, it's just a matter of whether they can beat the Chiefs again, and I'm not sure they can. The Chiefs didn't seem too worried when they went there the first time. They came back from that 10- or 13-point lead to make it close. And so they'll be there because they'll always be there. But until this division figures out a way to get better – that's, you know, 5 wins for them right there. So, they'll be fine.
Speaking of a division that's not great, the NFC East, the Cowboys are 6-5. The Redskins are 6-5. But neither is very impressive, especially when the Redskins have Colt McCoy as their quarterback. The Eagles, to me, it's a surprise that they're 4-6. I keep waiting for them to turn it around. They get crushed by the Saints. They do have the Giants at home in a game they should win, but I don't know if I can count anything for them right now. And they will have Dallas later. They will have Washington. Both of those games are on the road. They still got to go to the Rams. Do the Eagles turn it around and win the East?
I think we'll learn a lot in this next game against the Giants. For some perspective on how bad this Eagles team has been, they're one game ahead of the Giants.
Amazing.
Seller in that division. That's right. So we'll see. I don't think they can. I think that the Cowboys are, at least relatively speaking for that division, playing the best football of that group. We know Alex Smith got hurt, so that's a huge deal. But I think Colt McCoy isn't necessarily that far of a downgrade from Alex Smith. But unless the Eagles can figure out, and it's not even the offense, it's the defense, which was very good last year. I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they know what they're doing. And if they don't get that sorted, the issues with the offensive line, as Carson Wentz continues his comeback, I think he's actually been okay. I don't think they're going to have a chance to catch the Cowboys, which sounds like an insane thing to say because a few weeks ago everyone's writing the Cowboys off. And I think the worst-case scenario for Cowboys fans is that there's about an 85% chance Jason Garrett's going to get an extension after the season when they win the division.
I know this wouldn't be a smart thing to do, but if you had to bet your entire salary on who gets the sixth seed in the AFC, who would you bet it on?
Oh, Lord. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Let's see. So the Ravens.
You got the Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins, Colts, and Titans at 5-5, the Broncos at 4-6, the Browns at 3-6-1.
You know, I like the Chargers. I know they laid the –
Well, the Chargers are the 5, which we got the Chargers in the 5 slot, so you can't pick the Chargers.
Oh,
got to get the 6th. It's got to be the Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins, Colts, Titans, Broncos, or Browns.
I got it. I misunderstood the instructions.
Yeah, it's all right.
Going with the Colts.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Colts because Andrew Luck hasn't been sacked in 5 games. They've won 4 in a row. Frank Reich has that offense clicking. That defense is playing well, which hasn't happened. It feels like 15 years. And their schedule is actually pretty easy down the stretch. So I feel like they can make a move. Andrew Luck, I thought he was going to be Chad Pennington coming into the season because we didn't see him throw a ball more than 10 yards down the field.
Yeah,
he's back to being Andrew Luck, and he looks really good. T.Y. Hilton looks really good. Eric Ebron sort of found himself in Indianapolis. So that's a team that I like a lot. They're not going to win the division. I think they're too far back. But I feel like they can sink it to the wild card there.
Mahomes, Wentz, or Goff? If you're starting a team, which one are you taking?
Mahomes, because as well as Goff's playing, he's doing fantastic in Sean McVay's offense.
Yeah,
Mahomes is scratching the surface. Like, he's not even close to where his ceiling is, and that should be scary for everyone else, and certainly great news for Andy Reid. And I feel like he's only going to get better. And that dude isn't afraid of anything. You can throw everything at him, and he just bounces back up, and he'll throw another 60-yarder, maybe a touchdown, maybe interception, but he takes chances.
How about the rookie quarterbacks? Who are you starting the team with now?
I sort of like Josh Rosen and what he's had to endure there, but I think if I'm starting a team, I love Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I think he has the right temperament for the nonsense that's going on in Cleveland. I think he'll survive that, and then that team with all those young players, they're going to be really good in a few years.
Yep, I've been saying, and I work in Cleveland during the week, but most of the guys who work in Cleveland are homers. I'm not, because I'm not from Cleveland, so I usually pick them to win 3 games every year. I'm already saying they'll win 9-10 games next year if they have the right coach.
Yeah, and I think part of the Baker Mayfield's thing is I'm tired of you comparing me to Johnny Manziel. He's not Johnny Manziel.
No, not at all.
That's about where the similarities end. That guy can play,
yeah.
And we've seen glimpses of that, and it's been fun to watch, and if they can figure out the coaching situation, they're going to be tough.
Ryan, good stuff, man. Happy holidays. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.